Greetings from John Paul Jones Arena, and welcome to another edition of the Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff White, from virginiasports.com. This has been a memorable season for the UVA football team, which reclaimed the Commonwealth Cup from Virginia Tech, won the Coastal Division title, and now is headed to the Orange Bowl to play Florida. My guest today has a prominent role on the team, and that's running back Wayne Talapapa. Wayne, good to see you again. How's it going?
Nice to be here.
So, final exams are underway at the university. How's that going for you, and when do you wrap up?
It's been going well. My last exam will take place on Monday, and so trying to balance out school as well as practice has been a lot easier now that we're preparing for the bowl. So just excited to get this great semester over.
So there have not been a lot of football activities this week because of exams, but you guys got together for a team run this morning, right?
Right.
How'd that go?
It went well. Nice to get everyone's legs back in order and to see everyone has been working for this past couple of days. Has been exciting to be able to run as a team and get together again. You know, amazes me, and we're excited to get ready for this Gator team.
So you ran into a really talented Clemson team in the ACC championship game on Saturday night down in Charlotte.
Right.
What were your thoughts coming away from that game? Obviously, the offense did some really good things.
Right. I think as a team, we could have performed better. But no doubt, got to give credit where credit is due. Clemson was a great team. But it really sets as a marker on where we stand on a national level, especially playing against, I think, the number three team in the nation. And so there's a lot of things we have to improve on, a lot of things that we have to get better. And hopefully we can make it back in the same position that we were this year, again next year.
At this time last year, the team was preparing for the Belk Bowl. You were a true freshman who had played only on special teams. I think
right.
You only played in maybe the final six regular season games, maybe seven. Mm-hmm. 12 months later, you're the starter running back. You've rushed for 12 touchdowns, which is one more than Bryce Perkins. Would you have predicted all this a year ago, or has this happened faster than maybe you would have thought it would?
I honestly would not have predicted this a year ago.
Because you were probably coming at, I mean, I don't know where you started the spring on the depth chart at running back, but
right.
It was not number one.
No, not at all. I think more so my goal coming into the season was to help out on the offense in any way that I could. I knew that my game in special teams was always something special to me, but at the end of the day, the more you can do, the more valuable you become. And so trying to help out in different areas, first it started off in blocking, then it shifted over to passing game, and then just them trying me out on the run game, I think I really just labeled my spot. And so I would not have expected it, but I think the hard work that I put in really just showed for itself.
Charlottesville is a long, long way from home for you. Tell us about your hometown in Hawaii. You're from the North Shore of Oahu, right?
Right, exactly.
I'll let you pronounce your hometown's name because
so
I mangled it once.
You're good. So I'm from the parts of the North Shore called La'ie and the Koku. Very relaxed, a lot more chill than it is here in Virginia. Whenever I come out here to the mainland, yeah, everything's a lot faster. So it's nice to go home a couple of times of the year to really relax and sit back with family and just be around them. But very tight-knit community. Very passionate people that I love being around, and so can't wait to get back to them a little bit after the season and then come right back to work.
So how close to the Pacific Ocean does your family live?
We're a good four-minute walk away from the beach. It's really exciting.
Four-minute.
So, as hot as Hawaii can be year-round, it's nice to get the trade winds coming from the shoreline, and just to feel the beach sand again will be exciting.
So a lot of people would describe Charlottesville as kind of laid back as opposed to a big city like D.C. or New York.
Oh, right.
Have you been to places like that?
I have been to the city of Cincinnati, around that area,
yeah.
Which is
not a huge city.
Yeah, it's not a huge city either. But definitely in comparison to Charlottesville and things like that, it's a lot different, the speed of things.
So do you surf?
Yes. I do, so that's nice. Boogie board mostly, a lot of things like that, body surfing. So it's exciting. I mean, I have to go back and relearn those skills again when I go home, but it's all good.
Did you play a lot of sports when you were growing up?
I did. I think my parents did a really good job with me and my siblings and placing us in different situations and different sports that allowed us just to really focus on our physical traits and things like that. And so I played mostly soccer when I was younger. Uh-huh. And my parents weren't going to let me play football until my friends begged them, which was a great story. So now I'm more so focused on football, which was good for me.
How important is football in Hawaii, especially in the Polynesian culture?
I'd say it's very important. A while ago, I did an interview and talking about it, that, you know, it kind of encompasses our culture as a whole, how passionate we are and how strong we are as a people. And so for Polynesians everywhere, especially on the islands, when we have the opportunity to hit somebody and play hard and things like that, football is the first thing that comes to mind. It's second nature to us.
So the local public high school for your family was Kahuku,
uh-huh.
which just happens to be the alma mater of two of your coaches here, right? Mark Atawaya and Robert Anai. Mm-hmm. Coach Atawaya was a highly regarded running back himself. Right. Were you aware of his reputation growing up? Had you heard of him? And what about the Anai family? Coach Anai's father had been the head coach at the high school, right?
Right. Oh, definitely. I mean, those are two names in Laie and Kuku that are very well known, especially for their talents and the things that they have done for the community. I know Coach Atawai has a certain day that people give out to him, and that's pretty funny. But when you see their tapes and...
Yeah, have you seen the tapes, VHS tapes of him?
Yeah, so it's exciting just to know that being coached by a couple hometown legends, neighborhood heroes, it's fun, and it's also nice to have coaches that you can relate to, especially being from the same area.
You attended
Punahou.
a private school in Honolulu.
Right.
How'd you end up there? I know Coach Atawaya told me, I mean, it's your home's basically 35 miles from Honolulu,
right.
but the traffic can be...
It's brutal.
brutal there. So it did not take you 35 minutes each way.
Yeah.
How'd you end up at that school?
I watched Kahuku beat Punahou twice in the state championship game for 2 years. And being from a city of football like Kahuku is, I just thought that it'd be a good opportunity to kind of venture out and challenge myself in ways that I couldn't imagine. And I heard so much, researched a lot about Punahou being a very high academic mm-hmm. school. And so one day I went to my parents and asked them, you know, if I could try out, if I can try to apply to the school, and they had no idea what I was talking about. And so that kind of started my desire to go there. And I tried out in the eighth grade and was able to make it in. And from that day on, you know, my parents helped me like stepping stones to get through and to succeed at that school.
So what was the commute like every day?
So me and my dad, my mom would wake me up around 4:30 because I had seminary, which is like teaching mm-hmm. Bible studies and stuff like that in the morning. I had that at 5 to 5:45, and then me and my dad would go to school, and then I usually make it there around 7 to 7:30 around that time. And then coming home after practice, we'd get home around 9:30, 10 o'clock, things like that. So
it was a long day.
Yeah.
How did Coach Atawaya told me that when you would play Kahuku in football,
right.
your homeboys would remember that you had left to go to another school.
I mean,
that kind of amped up the rivalry?
Definitely. There was about four of us on the team from the Kahuku area. And so because we knew those kids and because a lot of them were our best friends, it got really chippy. It got really emotional. Because at the end of the day, Kahuku is known for its football.
Mm-hmm.
They're very prideful on it. So if we were to beat them, it was something a little extra. And so beating them my junior year was, you know, one of the biggest highlights of my high school career. It was also exciting just being able to play opposite side of my brothers, which is something I didn't get to do a lot. And so big rivalry because of the relations that we have between a private school and a public school.
So you are not the most famous alumnus of your high school,
you? No, not at all.
That would be...
I mean, you got big names like Ane, Matt Diteo, Robbie Toma, DeForest Buckner, who's now currently playing for the 49ers. So just
And then away from sports, you have a
Oh yeah,
President
Obama.
States.
Yeah, definitely.
did he ever come back to visit the school? You were there.
Not while I was there. I know that he came and gave certain speeches to a different class of seniors, and I know that hear a lot about the stories of him from different PE teachers and teachers.
Because he played basketball there, right?
Yeah, he did play basketball.
You're one of four players on the UVA team with roots in Hawaii, mm-hmm. along with Aaron Famui, Samson Reed, and Chris Glazer.
Right.
Is there a special bond among you guys because of that?
Oh, definitely, no doubt. Although we, hang out in different groups, at the end of the day, we're all family. We all can relate to each other because of our history and our blood. And it's just deeply felt, the family connections. And so every time we are together, it's almost like we never left. And so that's always exciting to have, blood brothers on the team, people that I can look to as cousins, as family.
What about your relationship with Coach Atuaya?
Coach Atuaya takes us all in as kids, as running backs. He's very vocal, definitely a father figure to each and every one of us. And so it's easy to relate to him. And then also, especially because of Polynesian blood, it's we were raised the same in a way, and it's kind of easy to just go to him and talk to him about different things going on.
So he and many of the other assistants here were on Coach Mendenhall's staff at Brigham Young, mm-hmm. before coming to UVA. Would you have ended up at BYU probably if the coaches had not come here?
I mean, who's to say? I really trusted them as coaches. I love BYU as well. But at the end of the day, this is what's happened. This is the blessing I received, and I'm rolling with it.
What made you choose UVA? I know they moved here, and then they offered you a scholarship. Mm-hmm. Were you at all? Did you have any trepidation about coming all the way across the country?
I mean, the fact that Coach Bronco and Coach Atuaya were willing to take a chance on me really spoke to me. And then, also they talked a lot about the ACC competition and also the great school that UVA was. It was kind of easy for me to make that transition and to take that challenge upon myself. Going to a far school wasn't something foreign to me, although this is a lot farther than Punahou was from my hometown. I thought it would be a good challenge for me to definitely grow.
What was the farthest east you had been before you visited here?
I think I ventured in Pennsylvania for Hershey's Olympic, like junior Olympic. So I was a long jumper. And in Hawaii, I won for that certain junior Olympic competition. And I was able to go out to Pennsylvania for a Hershey's competition. That was as far
as. Not that far from here, actually.
Yeah,
so a 4-hour drive.
It wasn't cold at the time, so I hadn't experienced anything like this, how it is now.
You're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and you chose to serve a 2-year mission trip after you graduated from high school in 2016. That took you to Nicaragua for 2 years. Mm-hmm. Now that you have a little distance from that, how did that experience change you?
I definitely think it moved me into becoming more of a man and certainly just trusting more in my Heavenly Father and the plan that is set for me. I know that of all the blessings that I have received and continue to receive, but it definitely gave me a different perspective on life and what's most important. And so I'm glad to be here, definitely setting an example as that person who was able to do that.
How much were you able to follow UVA football while you were out of the country? I mean, that 2016 was Broncos' first season here.
Right.
It was a rough season on the field.
Right.
The next year went a little better.
I wasn't able to follow it too much due to the situations of Nicaragua being a third world country, not too many computers or things like that could keep me up with sports. But definitely hearing things from my parents and the coaches sending letters and things like that was alarming to me. But I knew the progress was going to be made, and so it was nice to see that in those 2 years.
I know you've covered some of this in other interviews, but
you
weren't able to work out in the traditional manner every day.
Uh-huh.
So you kind of had to get it exercise in where you could, right, and improvise and be creative. What were some of the things you did to simulate weightlifting and running and everything?
So every day I made it a point to get 300 push-ups and 300 sit-ups, no matter what time of day. As long as I hit 300 within the day, I was good. And so I'd usually have to wake up a lot earlier to do that. I had my parents and family members send me jump ropes and ladders that I would set up in the kitchen. I learned how to make concrete weights, which would, you know, break after every 3 weeks, a month. And so you'd have to remake them. And just a lot of just simple house workouts that kept me in some type of shape. Although it wasn't the best, I lost a lot of weight. Definitely did not come back as strong as any of my peers. I definitely kept in some type of shape to be able to transition a little well into the system.
So you signed your letter of intent with UVA in February of 2016, about 4 months before you left on your mission. Mm-hmm. While you were in Central America, did you waver at all on your commitment to Virginia? Because at that point, you really didn't have a connection to the school other
right,
than...
Right. No, not at all. I think I was more so focused on what was happening within Nicaragua. But just receiving those little letters from the coaches and information about the school definitely made me more excited, not only just to come here, but also to get back to a game that I've loved and wanted to play so bad.
So you finally make it to UVA in the summer of 2018. Uh-huh. The class that was – the guys who were going to be your classmates, they're going into their third year. You're going into your first year.
Right.
You'd lost weight. Bronco has said that, you know, it usually takes a full year for players to get back up to speed.
Yep.
I think you got back a little quicker than that. But what was that – what was it like being, you know, getting – acclimated or reacclimated to serious fitness and exercise?
It was tough. Just fixing up a whole new schedule and trying to get my body to where my mind was. I was very excited about coming back. I thought it was not going to be that hard of a transition, but it was evident, you know, that I wasn't as ready as I could have been. I pulled hamstrings. I was weaker than everyone else, getting, you know, fatigued and tired. But through hard work and through the strength and conditioning staff that we have, Coach Chris and them, they made it easy on me to get back into it.
What about returning to the classroom after 2 years? Everyone thinks about the football part of it and being away from the game, but you graduate from high school, you're a serious student, and then you're not in a traditional classroom setting. How tough was that to jump into college classes, which are challenging anyway?
Right. I mean, it was very tough, especially a school like UVA, not being in school and not, you know, doing simple subjects every day like English or mathematician or mathematics and things like that. It became almost, you know, just very stressful when I got back. I practically forgot how to speak proper English. The only thing I really knew was Spanish. And so right now I'm leaning a lot towards that, but it's still a learning process. I'm still trying to get those habits and ideas about school back. But it's an everyday process.
What, have you picked a major yet?
Not yet, but right now leaning towards, you know, Spanish major.
Yeah. After the Virginia Tech game, Eli Hamback came into the interview room wearing a lei. Mm-hmm. Was that your doing?
Yeah. My mom, you know, she, every game that she comes to, they have a bunch of leis and they pick and choose players that come to them. And so she loves doing that and she loves, you know, helping people feel the Aloha spirit.
So do you feel like you're a part of two different classes here? Because you signed with the group that they're now, what, 4th years?
Right. They're graduating.
You know, you signed with that class. Some of them are redshirts. Some are graduating. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you came in with the class that they're 2nd years now.
Right. Well, I went on my official visit with the 4th year class.
Right.
And so I kind of know them from that. As far as relationship-wise, I feel a lot closer to my 2nd years right now, especially because I've been with them. I've struggled with them. I've, you know, bled and cried and sweat with them. And so definitely a lot closer to my 2nd year's class, but I got love all around. So
the offense struggled early in the season, but starting with the North Carolina game, which was on November the 2nd, it's really been clicking. What's been the difference, you know, between the two halves of the season, really, offensively?
I think just our focus and defining every single play and running it to a tee. In practices, you know, we started working when we had problems with red zone. We worked more so on red zone. When we had a problem with field work, we worked more so on the field work, and definitely seeing improvements from each player in each position group. Just trying to work together to do the best things that each player could do. And I think Coach and I and the rest of the offensive coaches did a great job with pickpointing each talent that each person had and trying to push us to the limits.
There are no seniors on the offensive line, and sometimes when they're out there, you have four sophomores and a junior playing together. Mm-hmm. So it's a young group that's going to get better. Right. How much has that group improved over the course of the season?
Oh, I think the numbers, you know, speak for itself. You look at the beginning of the season was very shaky, but now, you know, they're confident in what they do. They had a great game against Clemson, and they great games the last couple of games, and so it's nice to see that they're heading in stride, and it's going to be really amazing the things that they do when they get older and when more maturity comes in, and so it's exciting now they have the experience, so next year is going to be exciting to see the O-line work.
Well, what are your thoughts on the Orange Bowl in this matchup with Florida?
Oh, it's going to be a great game. You always dream about games like that. I used to watch them play in a tough league of the SEC, and so to be able to actually play them, it's really cool, and to see their film, they're a great team, and it's going to be an exciting game to watch.
So I know you played some soccer as a boy, and you played soccer in Nicaragua to stay in shape. Do you follow other athletic teams here at UVA?
Definitely do. Our soccer team's doing well, and so that's exciting. I have a lot of friends on the basketball team, so it's nice to see that they're doing well. But it seems like, you know, the year of UVA for sports-wise, and so it's hard not to follow each sport.
I think Kihei's father played basketball in Hawaii, didn't he?
Yeah, Kihei has a couple of roots back in the islands, and so that's nice.
Yeah, well, listen, I know this is a busy week and a busy time of year. I appreciate you stopping by.
Oh, of course.
Good luck. We'll see you at practice and see you down in Miami for the bowl game.
Thank you so much.
This is a quiet stretch of the school year for UVA athletics, with one big exception. The men's soccer team is back in the College Cup and plays Wake Forest on Friday night in the NCAA semifinals. If the Hoos win, they'll play Stanford or Georgetown for the national title Sunday night in Cary. For information on the College Cup, the Orange Bowl, and all things UVA athletics, visit virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening, and go Hoos!